Todd Grove Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nybert. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nybert.
Our text for this morning is found in 1 John chapter 3. If you could get a Bible and read along, it would be helpful. But this week, I want to first announce that we're having our annual Sovereign Grace Bible Conference. What is meant by sovereign grace? Salvation is of the Lord. That's what that means. Every aspect of salvation is by the grace of God. Election by the Father, redemption by the Son, and regeneration by the Holy Spirit. Now, beginning this Friday night at 7, Saturday morning at 10, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 10, we'll have two speakers each service. And the theme of this Bible conference is, what is the gospel? And every speaker will bring a message regarding what is the gospel. And that is always the issue. What is the gospel? So we want to invite you to come to these services. Nursery will be provided, and I hope to see you. 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. What a simple definition of sin. Sin is breaking God's holy law. If I lie, I sin. If I fail to love God with all my heart, soul, and strength, I sin. If I steal something, if I take credit where credit's not due, I sin. Sin is the transgression of the law. And that is what is meant throughout this passage of Scripture. So remember that. He identifies first what sin is. Sin is the transgression of the law. Verse 5, and you know that He was manifested to take away our sins. Why did He come? To take away our sins. Did He do it? When He said, it is finished, the sins of everybody He died for were taken away, canceled, blotted out, made to not be. He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. That means if you're in Him, you have no sin. When God looks at you, He sees you as holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. And let me remind you, how He sees things is how they really are. In Him is no sin. Verse 6, whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. Now, who are those people who abide in Christ? Well, in Christ is a place. You stay in that place. You never want to be viewed independently of Jesus Christ. Just like when the Lord was coming through to destroy the firstborn, if you're in the house, you are safe. If you're outside of the house, your firstborn would be killed. If you are in the ark, you are safe. If you are outside of the ark, destruction. Now, that person who abides in Christ is that person who only wants to be found in Him. When God comes looking for me, I simply want to be found in Christ. That's all I want God to see. Now, that person who abides in Him does not sin. Somebody says, that means he doesn't practice sin. No, it doesn't mean that. It means he doesn't sin, period. That's the reality of justification. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. And he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. And that's what He did. He destroyed them. It was the devil who brought sin into the world to our parents first. So He, our first parents, Adam and Eve, but He destroyed the works of the devil. And look at verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. He lacks the ability to sin because he's born of God. Now this concept of being born of God, that's what I'd like for us to consider. Born of God. What does this new birth do? What does the new birth not do? That's what I want us to consider. But what I'm going to do is look at every scripture that says something about being born of God. In John chapter 1, verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born. Don't miss that. Which were born. Not of blood. You're not born again because your mom and dad are, or because of any fleshly connections. Not of the will of the flesh. The new birth doesn't come as a result of man's will. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Free will is a lie. You're not born because you decided to be as an act of your free will, nor of the will of man, not because a bunch of men got together and decided we're going to pray for you till God saves you and it's going to happen. No, the new birth is of God. Not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. Now, this is God's sovereign work. Not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. If you're saved, it's because God birthed you into His kingdom. It's because He elected you. Christ died for your sins. And then God the Holy Spirit birthed you into His kingdom. And this is absolutely necessary for salvation. Because if He doesn't give me life, I won't live. As far as salvation goes, I think of what the Lord said to His disciples as they watched that rich young ruler leave, and they said, if this man can't be saved, who then can be saved? With men, it is impossible. If God leaves me and you to ourselves, we will not be saved. God's got to intervene and give us life. Now, these people who are made the sons of God, who believe on His name, were born. They were born. Not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. And then in John chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night. Maybe it's because he was ashamed, but I think the imagery is he was in utter darkness. He didn't understand anything. He had no light. And he said unto him, Rabbi, which is teacher. You know, Nicodemus thought he needed to be taught. He needed more than that. He needed to be given life. But he addresses Christ as a teacher. Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily I say unto you, except a man be born again, born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Now, unless I am born from above, I just can't see, I can't perceive, I can't understand the things of the kingdom of God. There's no way I can understand it. Like, if you had the best calculus teacher to ever live that could make things so simple, or the best algebra teacher that could make things so simple that they're better than anybody else, if they were teaching a monkey, he still wouldn't be able to learn calculus or algebra. It's beyond his comprehension. The things of the kingdom of God is above the natural man's comprehension. He cannot see the kingdom of God unless he is born from above. There's no understanding of the gospel. You see, this is not something you can understand intellectually. You can be the smartest man alive and still be blind unless God gives you life so you see. Let's go on reading. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter in the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Now that water represents the Word, the washing of water by the Word. There's no new birth without the Word, and you have to be born of the Spirit. God the Holy Spirit has to give you life through the Word, and if He doesn't do that, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You can't get in unless God gives you life from above. Then He says in verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. It'll never rise above that. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you that you must be born again. It's absolutely necessary for you to be born from above, born again to enter or to see the kingdom of heaven. And then he says in verse 8, the wind blows where it listeth. It wills. It blows wherever it wants to. You don't have any control in this. You can't control the direction of the wind. The wind blows where it wills. You hear the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. This is the sovereign work of God. You don't have any control in this. You don't have any more control of this birth than you did your first birth. It happened because God willed it. And this is the same way. The new birth is a sovereign work of God. Now, the next time we read of this birth is found in Galatians chapter 4, beginning in verse 21, tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it's written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. Now, you can remember the story from Genesis chapter 16 where God had made a promise to Abraham, you're going to have a child through Sarah. Some years pass, Sarah says, it hadn't happened, and Abraham, what we need to do is we need to do our part. Obviously, God's promise won't come to pass unless we do our part. And so she pointed to her maid, Hagar. You go into Hagar, a young woman. She had already gone through menopause. She couldn't have a child. You go into Hagar, we'll do our part, and we'll have a child. And you know that he did go into Hagar, and they had Ishmael. And Ishmael's never acknowledged a son by God. Remember when he said to Abraham, take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom you love. Well, that's the story in Genesis chapter 16. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. There's nothing miraculous about it. But the free woman was by promise, by the Spirit of God. There was something supernatural about it. Which things are an allegory? Now remember when you read the Old Testament, these stories are not just historical events and things that really happened. They're given as an allegory to teach us truth. These things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants. One represents Mount Sinai. Now, Hagar, Abraham going into Hagar, them doing their part to make God's purpose and promise come to pass, is a representative of salvation by works. If salvation in any way is dependent upon you doing something, that's salvation by works. But salvation by grace is the child Isaac being born supernaturally of a woman who had already gone through menopause. And this teaches, this birth teaches grace. Salvation truly is all of grace. Look what it says in verse 29 of this chapter. But as then he which was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. You know, grace and works can't coexist. They can't get along. Works is always going to persecute grace. Now, the next passage of Scripture is found in 1 Peter chapter 1 when we hear about a new birth or being born. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us. There it is. Hath birthed us unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, if I'm born from above, I know this. The only reason I am is because of the resurrection of Christ from the dead. The reason God gives me this new birth is because Christ died for my sins, put them away, was raised from the grave for my justification, and now God can give me this new birth, this new life. It comes by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And then we read in verse 23 of this same chapter, Peter says, being born again. There it is again. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, this new birth doesn't come from corruptible seed, salvation by works, salvation by what man does, but the incorruptible seed, the living Word of God, the gospel. Only the gospel begets this life. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And then he quotes a passage from Isaiah chapter 40. Here's the message. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower thereof falls away. That's the works of the flesh. But the Word of the Lord endures forever. The only thing that's going to abide God's judgment and endure is not something you've done, but who He is and what He has done. The Word of the Lord abides forever, and this is the Word which by the gospel is preached unto you. This is the message. 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him. Now, the only way you can do righteousness is if you're born of God. A natural man, an unbeliever, cannot do righteousness. He has nothing but an evil nature, and if he does something good, it's still not good because he did it. I think of that passage of Scripture, the plowing of the wicked is sin. I mean, that seems like a very wholesome activity, but if a wicked man does it, it's sin. Only the new man who is born of God can do righteousness. That's talking about the righteous nature. That's what the new nature can do. It's the doing of righteousness. Now, somebody says, well, what is that? Anything the righteous nature does. Anything the righteous nature does. It's the doing of righteousness. Look in verse 9 of chapter 3. Whosoever is born of God, there we have it again. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed, the seed of God, remains in him, and he cannot sin. He lacks the ability to sin because he's born of God. Now, I realize people say, well, that means he doesn't practice sin. But that's not, the language won't even allow that. He doesn't sin, period, because he's born of God. That's talking about the new man in Christ Jesus, the new nature. It's the new nature that believes, not the old man. It's the new nature that loves God, not the old man. The new nature cannot sin. Can God sin? No. Can the Lord Jesus Christ sin? No. Can the Holy Spirit sin? No. Can the new nature sin? No. We're said to be partakers of the divine nature, and holiness cannot sin. Now, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, we read these words. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. Now here's what the new nature does. It loves God, and it knows God. To know God is to love God. To love God is to know Him, and that's what the new nature does. We read in verse 8, He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Now, the love he's speaking of is not romantic love. It's not the love between a man and a woman. It's not the love between a parent and a child. I'm thankful for those loves, but a lost man can have all those loves. It's not love and loyalty to your country. I'm thankful for that, but a lost man can have that. This is talking about love to God as He is, and love to His people as they are. Now, I love God as He is. I love His sovereignty. I love His absolute control. I love His justice. I love His righteousness. I love His independence. These are all attributes of God. I love His eternality. He never had a beginning. He never had an end. I love His righteousness. I love being saved by His righteousness. I love His way of saving by Christ, by grace. Oh, how I love His precious blood. How I love the intercession of Christ. How I love His people. I love everybody that loves Christ, I love. 1 John 5:1 says, "Everyone that loveth Him that begat, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him." There is a genuine love to God and love to His people. And that's the result only of being born of God. The natural man has no love for God. And that is seen when he hears the true gospel. He says, "Well, I don't love that." Well, I know you don't. The natural man doesn't love God as revealed in the Scriptures. But that which is born of God does. Now look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." Now, did you hear that? Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ. Now, the Christ is the Messiah, the Anointed One. In the Old Testament, there were three anointed offices, all which picture the person and work of Christ. The priest was anointed, the prophet was anointed, and the king was anointed with oil by God. They were recognized and anointed. Now, Jesus Christ is God's anointed prophet. He is the Word of God. He's all that God has to say. "This is my beloved Son. Hear ye Him." He is God's Word. He's called the Word of God. He's God's priest. You know what that means? That means if He represents you, you must be saved. You really believe that? Now, what's a priest? A prophet is someone who brings God's Word to men. A priest is someone who brings men to God. He's God's priest after the order of Melchizedek. If He brings me to God, if He represents me, I must be saved. He's God's king. God's king is the one whose will is done. He's in absolute control. And I need Him as an absolute sovereign whose will is done to cause me to do His will, to cause me to believe the gospel. I need Him. Oh, whoso believeth that Jesus is the Christ, God's prophet, God's priest, God's king, is born of God. It takes the new birth even to believe that. Look in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. "For whatsoever is born of God," there's the word again, "whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" I want you to do something that's very difficult to do for me or you. May God give us grace to do this. I want you to forget about yourself completely. I don't want you to wonder whether or not you're saved, whether or not Christ died for you, whether or not you're one of the elect. Just forget about yourself completely. Faith is what you believe concerning Him. Not what you believe concerning yourself, what you believe concerning Him. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" Faith is believing that He is the eternal, uncreated Creator. God the Son. Equal with the Father. So much so that the Father worships the Son. And the Son worships the Father. "For He," God said to the Son, "Thy throne, O God, is forever." The only issue is what you think of Him. I think of where the Lord said to His disciples, "Whom say men that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, well, they say good things. Some say you're Elijah. Elias, Moses, one of the prophets, Jeremiah, whom say ye that I am? Peter answered, Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Upon this rock, upon this confession of me, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I think of when the Lord watched that crowd go away in John chapter 6. He didn't ask them back after they heard that message. He watched them file off. From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. They said, we're not going this direction. He looked at the 12 and said, will you also go away? Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. He didn't say anything about themselves, but who He is. The Ethiopian eunuch. He's heard Philip preach, see, here's water, what hinders me from being baptized? If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He didn't say, I believe I'm saved. He didn't say, I believe I'm born again. He didn't say, I believe I'm one of the elect. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That is faith. It doesn't have anything to do with what you think about yourself. It has wholly to do with what you think about Him. Now, you remember the Lord said to Peter, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. Well, Peter failed, didn't he? I mean, he denied he even knew the Lord. And he went out and wept bitterly. And when the Lord arose from the dead, I bet he might have thought, I'm not saved. He remembered the Lord saying, whoso denieth me before men, him will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. He said, I did that. And if you would have asked Peter at that time, are you saved? I don't know. Did Christ die for you? Well, I'm not real sure. Maybe not. Are you one of the elect? I don't give much evidence of it. He couldn't have answered those positively, but if you would have said, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Yes, I do, with all my heart. That is what faith is. And finally, 1 John 5:18, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that's begotten of God, there it is, keeps himself. He keeps himself by the grace of God, in Christ, looking to Christ alone, and he will not look anywhere else. Now, I want to remind you that we're going to have special services, Sovereign Grace Bible Conference, beginning at 7 o'clock Friday night, Saturday morning at 10, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 10. And we'd love to have you come out and hear the gospel. This is Todd Dybert, praying that God will be pleased to make himself known to you. That's our prayer. Amen.
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com. Or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.